The second reading is from John chapter 4, verse 1 to 26. It's on page 91 of the New Testament. If you've got one of these and you want to read along, check what I'm saying. John chapter 4, verse 1. Now when Jesus learned that the Pharisees had heard, Jesus is making and baptizing more disciples than John, although it was not Jesus himself, but his disciples who baptized, he left Judea and started back to Galilee. But he had to go through Samaria. So he came to a Samaritan city called Sychar, near the plot of ground that Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired out by his journey, was sitting by the well. It was about noon. A Samaritan woman came to draw water, and Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink." His disciples had gone to the city to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, "How is it that you, a Jew, ask a drink of me, a woman of Samaria?" Jews do not share things in common with Samaritans. Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that is saying to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him and he would have given you living water." The woman said to him, "Sir, you have no bucket and the well is deep. Where do you get that living water? Are you greater than our ancestor Jacob, who gave us the well and with his sons and his flocks drank from it?" Jesus said to her, "Everyone who drinks of this water will be thirsty again. But those who drink of the water that I will give them will never be thirsty. The water that I give will become in them a spring of water gushing up to eternal life." The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water so that I may never be thirsty or have to keep coming here to draw water." Jesus said to her, "Go, call your husband and come back." The woman answered him, "I have no husband." Jesus said to her, "You are right in saying, 'I have no husband,' for you have had five husbands, and the one you have now is not your husband. What you have said is true." The woman said to him, "Sir, I see that you are a prophet. Our ancestors worshipped on this mountain, but you say that the place where people must worship is in Jerusalem." Jesus said to her, "Woman, believe me, the hour is coming when you will worship the Father neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You worship what you do not know. We worship what we know, for salvation is from the Jews. But the hour is coming and is now here when the true worshippers will worship the Father in spirit and truth, for the Father seeks such as these to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth." The woman said to him, "I know that Messiah is coming, who is called Christ. When he comes, he will proclaim all things to us." Jesus said to her, "I am he, the one who is speaking to you."
Well, as we come to God's word this morning, shall we pray together? Father God, we thank you today that you inspired all scripture for our good. We pray that now by your Holy Spirit you would come among us. Please show us your truth and change our hearts to do your will. In the name of Christ. Amen. Well, this is the third in our series of talks in our sermon series called Encounters with Jesus. If you remember, we've already done the wise men. We've been thinking about the Roman centurion. And this week, it's the woman at the well. This is not the woman at the well. Who's this? Well done. She's probably one of the largest selling recording artists in the world at this moment. She sold over 100 million combined singles and albums. Just before Christmas, she was selling 1 million albums per week. Quite an extraordinary record. She's got a great voice. Her songs are full of loss and regret, very much about the pain of broken relationships. Now, for me, one of the most humbling and heartfelt words are in the track called Million Years Ago. I'm not going to sing it to you, but these are some of the lyrics. I know I'm not the only one who regrets the things they've done. Sometimes I just feel it's only me who can't stand the reflection that they see. I wish I could live a little more, look up at the sky, not just the floor. I feel like my life is flashing by, and all I can do is watch and cry. I miss the air. I miss my friends. I miss my mother. I miss it when life was a party to be thrown, but that was a million years ago. And the songs are like that. They're full of opportunities, but also about the passing of time, about loss, and about regret. And of course, we all know what it's like, isn't it, when the busyness of life takes over, it fills our memories with a sense of wistful longing. I know I'm not the only one who regrets the things they've done. Sometimes I just feel it's only me who never became who they thought they'd be. I wish I could live a little more, look up at the sky, not just the floor. I feel like my life is flashing by, and all I can do is watch and cry. I think Adele has a way of capturing the human loss, the human angst that's in all of our lives. She has a way of capturing these words for us, perhaps, that resonate with so many people. I think that's why she sells millions and millions of records. And generally, I think that the Christian church has been very poor at reaching out to people with these longings in their lives. C.S. Lewis once wisely observed this. If we find ourselves with a desire that nothing in this world can satisfy, the most probable explanation is that we were made for another world. And that's true, isn't it? If we think there's something deeply missing inside us, then perhaps we were made for something more. There is such a need to connect the human heart and show our deeper longings are being satisfied in God. Here's another woman from our story in John chapter 4, whose deepest longings are laid bare. Here she is collecting water from the well. It's routine, but it's back-breaking, tedious work. And we're traveling with Jesus in the countryside of Samaria, sandwiched between Judea to the south and Galilee to the north. Now, what's the background of these Samaritans? They were seen by the Jews as mongrels, half-breeds. When the Jews had come back from captivity, they'd all interbred in Samaria, so they were no longer a pure race, and the Jews despised them. They looked down on them. The Samaritans even had their own religious traditions. They built their own temple, not the one in Jerusalem. They had their own religious traditions based on just the first five books of the Bible, not the others. So why on earth would a Jewish man want to associate with a Samaritan? There is deep mistrust and hatred. And you get the shock in verse 9 if you have our reading open. John chapter 4, look at verse 9. How is it that you, a Jew, ask a drink of me, a woman of Samaria? And then in brackets, just in case you haven't got the point, Jews do not share things in common with Samaritans. You get the point. And it's very revealing here. Jesus wants to break down all the barriers that separate us from other people, all the social taboos, all those obstacles we put up. He wants to break them right down. And here's Jesus going out of his way to get into a conversation with this woman. Now, why is this woman by herself at midday? It's very strange. Usually women would gather, all go in a group, either the very beginning of the day or at the end of the day to draw water. And here she is by herself. And very quickly we learn that this woman, she's been shunned. She's been ostracized. She's on the margins of society. And swirling all around her is hurtful innuendo, gossip. And maybe this lady's built a hard shell around herself so that the world wouldn't hurt her anymore. And she's a shrewd character. She's feisty, forthright, and she's had to learn to be that way. And so we have this extraordinary conversation with Jesus and this woman at the well. It's full of twists and turning, full of misunderstandings, but Jesus is offering her living water. And we all need it. If you went back into the previous chapter, John chapter 3, we have the great story of Nicodemus. And there couldn't be a greater contrast between Nicodemus, chapter 3, and this lady, chapter 4. Nicodemus was respectable, successful, Jewish, he was a man. But what does God say? You need to be born again. And if you keep both of these chapters together, chapters 3 and 4, we learn that all of us need this living water. All of us need to be born again. Sometimes if we're true, if we're right with ourselves, we see somebody who's very respectable, very well spoken, very well educated, say, well, they can't possibly need the gospel. They can't possibly need to become a Christian. It's really this broken person down here. And these two chapters tell us together that all of us, we've all fallen short of the glory of God, and we need that cleansing water that can only come from Jesus. And so this woman's life is laid bare. Look with me at these wonderful words, verses 13 to 15. And this gets to the real core of this story. Jesus said to her, "Everyone who drinks of this water will be thirsty again. But those who drink of the water that I will give them will never be thirsty. The water that I will give will become in them a spring of water gushing up to eternal life." And this woman wants the water that has been offered to her. There's an aching need in her life. Something inside all of us. We're reaching out for that sense of satisfaction, fulfillment. I'm sure many of you have heard of Raquel Welch, the Hollywood actress. Now, a while ago, she gave an interview and she said these quite startling words. "I had acquired everything I wanted, yet I was totally miserable. I thought it was very peculiar that I had acquired everything I had wanted as a child. Wealth, fame, and accomplishment in my career. I had beautiful children and a lifestyle that seemed terrific. Yet I was totally and miserably unhappy. I found it very frightening that one could acquire all these things and still be so miserable." Another example of somebody wanting this living water that will lead to eternity. Or perhaps on a slightly different plane of thinking, we have Pascal, the French thinker. What does all this restlessness and this helplessness indicate, except that man was once in true happiness, which has now left him? So he vainly searches, but finds nothing to help him, other than to see an infinite abyss that can only be filled by one who is infinite. In other words, it can only be filled by God himself. Is that not the human condition? There's a space within us, and only God can fill it. Nothing else will work. And the very presence of the Spirit, clear, fresh water, bubbling up from within to eternal life. Now, at this point, the woman completely misunderstands Jesus' words. She's thinking, just a minute, he's going to give me water that means I won't have to go back to this well and carry it on my shoulders anymore. But Jesus is saying, no. You've got it wrong. It's not that sort of water. This is a different type of water. And that, of course, would stop her running the gauntlet of others, being treated as a moral leper, shunned, sneered at, isolated. For this well is a reminder to her of the estrangement and all the broken relationships that she's been through. And then Jesus hits on a very raw nerve and talks about the husband issue. "Go, call your husband and come back." The woman answered him, "I have no husband," Jesus said to her. "You're right in saying, I have no husband. For you've had five husbands, and the one you now have is not your husband. Jesus does not turn a blind eye to all our faults and failings. He doesn't ignore them, but he does forgive them. And she's thinking to herself, well, how can someone like me get back in touch with God? How can I be restored? Most people have written off her in life. Someone best to be avoided. Someone you don't want your son to get in contact with. But not so Jesus, who loves her with her tender compassion and love. And this woman is amazed that here is a man who's not trying to chatter up. Here is a man who sees into her very soul and offers her what she always wanted. Here's this life full of regrets, sorrows, and aching and a longing. Now look at verse 23 of our reading. But the hour is coming, Jesus said, and is now here, when the true worshippers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For the Father seeks such as those to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and in truth. You see, a new day is dawning, Jesus says, and it's not about your pedigree, it's not about your family, it's not about your ancestry. Simply, will you take this living water, and will you take it to yourself? Jesus is the promised Messiah. He's the key to true worship, true forgiveness, and the fresh start this woman is looking for. And here he is, standing in front of her. Jesus dispenses living water, the Holy Spirit of God. Now further on, if you want to look over the page, which wasn't in our reading, we look at verse 28. Now this is interesting. What is the consequence of Jesus offering this living water? Verse 28. Then the woman left her water jar and went back to the city. She said to the people, come and see a man who told me everything I've ever done. He cannot be the Messiah, can he? They left their city and were on their way to him. And then verse 39. Many Samaritans from that city believed in him because of the woman's testimony. He told me everything I've ever done. So when the Samaritans came to him, they asked him to stay with them, and he stayed there for 2 days. And many more believed because of his word. They said to the woman, it is no longer because of what you said that we believe, for we have heard for ourselves, and we know that this is truly the Savior of the world. And so it gets passed on. Come and see. And they did. Now some of the most unlikely people are going to be evangelists of sharing this living water with other people, passing on this fresh water of life, pointing people to the eternal spring. Do we realize this morning that the baton of the gospel has been passed to us and our generation? What will we do with it? Will we share it, or will we keep it to ourselves? I wonder if this is your portrait of the church today. Living, dynamic, life-affirming, great fun, dare I say? Is that our picture of the church? Is this what we want to share with other people? Life-giving water. Life in all its fullness. And we remember these words of Jesus. The water that I will give, will become in them a spring of water gushing up to eternal life. What will we do with this? Will we be like that woman who'll say, come and see this man who tells me all about myself? Now you're going to be seeing a lot of this logo as we head up to our Passion for Life Festival of Faith in March. But please don't turn off when you see that logo thinking, well, this is just for other people. The older people are thinking, well, that's just for the young people. And the young people are just thinking this is for the older people. And we also leave it to somebody else. Later on in March, there'll be a whole series of different events for you to share that faith with other people. If we really believe that Jesus is that living water that all the world needs, will we keep it to ourselves? Do we really believe that people are parched and need Jesus as this living water? I'm going to ask us now to pray, and we're going to let God speak to us through these words from John's Gospel. And we want to pray that we'd be aware of this living water, and in turn, we'd share with others. So let's have a moment of silence, and then we'll pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you that you give us that living water. Water to cleanse. Water to heal. Water to give us a new start in life. Like Nicodemus. Like the Samaritan woman at the well. May we come to you with open hands and pray that you will love us, show us your compassion, and give us a new life. Lord, we confess that sometimes we are afraid of sharing that water with others. Please give us the boldness. Please give us the strength to use these events in March and to share this water of life with others. Lord Jesus, we thank you that you have come to us. You have died for us. You are risen again, and now with your Father in heaven. We thank you. In the name of Christ we pray. Amen.